the Blackhawks were supposed to be playing the Calgary Flames tonight, but the Flames flamed out because they got a lot of COVID going on. So that's why John Landecker is here now at 8:36 on 720 WGN. We're going to join up with WGN sportsperson Mark Carmen, who is going to be calling in as soon as he's ready, which is just fine. But right now, while we wait for Mark, I will move ahead with the bowl game name trivia game name.
Think of that yourself?
Yeah. Did you see Saturday Night Live by any chance?
I did not. I plan on watching it tonight, actually.
There's a bit in there you're really going to like about staying at a comfort, you know, like you go to a comfort inn hotel in comfort inn, you know, they keep repeating it.
Yeah.
I didn't do it justice. Billie Eilish. You like Billie Eilish?
Sure.
I mean, sure.
I don't know. What do you want me to say? She's popular with the even younger generation.
Yeah, but I think you're going to notice something. She's pretty good. She's a very... My wife and I were talking about her. She's a very natural... she's going to be 20 years old. Her parents were there. Okay, never mind. What are we... We're getting into something completely different. Okay,
here we go. Reel it in. Reel it in.
Okay, reel it in. Yes. That's Tom's job. You may not know it, but I have a lasso around my neck, and Tom has the end of the rope. And when I go one way too far, I go, get in here. All right. So, as I said earlier, starting Friday, I counted starting Friday, December 17th, and going through January 8th, I counted 44 different college bowl games. Some of them are self-explanatory. The Bahamas Bowl in Nassau, Bahamas. That makes sense, right? I am going to mention the Cure Bowl in Orlando, Florida. I didn't look up what the Cure... I'm sure it's not the band, but I didn't look up what Cure meant. But Northern Illinois is going to play Central Carolina. So I thought I'd mention that because, you know... NIUs.
And go Huskies.
Yeah, you better believe it. Okay, so we know say the Lending Tree Bowl. That's obviously that company that lends stuff. You know what I mean?
I think it's for mortgages.
Yeah,
something.
Mortgages. Right? Exactly. Yeah, right. Okay. The New Mexico Bowl. That's in Albuquerque. That makes sense to a certain degree. Now, the Gasparilla Bowl in Tampa, Florida, spelled Gasparilla, will take place Friday, December 24th, I believe. Do you have any idea why in Tampa, Florida, why it is called the Gasparilla Bowl?
Well, you know, my mom has a place down in Florida, and the last time I was there, I met a fine gentleman who gave me a concoction that was a mixture of root beer and petrol. So
that would be
get a little Gasparilla. It puts a little hair on your chest there.
I'm sorry, that's not it.
Oh, that's not it?
No.
Oh, bummer.
It is inspired by the legendary pirate, I'm not kidding, Jose Gaspar. Look it up.
Jose Gaspar the Pirate.
Look it up. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I've never heard of him. Why not call it the Blackbeard Bowl? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Maybe pronounced Gaspar, maybe?
Well, the name of the bowl is the Gasparilla Bowl.
Well, maybe
no,
Gasparilla?
Gaspar, yes.
Yeah, Gasparilla.
I don't know. I looked it up.
Potentially, yeah.
Gasparper.
Yeah.
Jose Gaspar.
Yeah. Spanish pirate. The
friendly ghost.
Last of the buccaneers who terrorized the Gulf of Mexico for many years. Ooh.
Is that what it says?
Yeah.
You did some little half-assed internet research?
Whole-assed this time.
Oh, okay. What else does it say about him? Anything? Or are you doing something else? Okay, I'll move along. I see the time has gone to the phone for something. Okay, the Camellia Bowl, Camellia Bowl in Montgomery, Alabama. Have any idea why that's called the Camellia Bowl?
No idea.
It is named after the state flower of Alabama.
Hmm. Okay. All right. I mean,
these aren't earth-shattering. It's just interesting, isn't it, Carm?
It is, John. It absolutely is. I have no idea what you're talking about, but damn it, it's interesting.
I'm talking about the names of these bowls that there's that start Friday and then go all the way to January. And there's, how many did I say? Just a lot. Where did I put the first page? 44 bowls. Starting Friday, going all the way to the championship game. And like the Cheez-It Bowl.
Oh, we're talking, you're right, right.
Yes.
The, I got you now. I was like, I thought you were saying bowls. I'm like, 44 Chicago Bulls. What's you telling me?
No. Bowls. Yeah, college
no,
bowl
I
games.
No, I was actually looking at that the other day, John, and the names are just completely absurd.
I know, yeah.
It's embarrassing, right? I think.
Well, I don't know if it's embarrassing. Not for us. It might be for the people who came up with it. I mean, one of them, as we were just talking here, was inspired by a pirate. I'm not kidding. In the Gasparilla Bowl is inspired by a legendary pirate named Jose Gasper. Another bowl is named after the Alabama state flower. The Pinstripe Bowl. In New York City, Virginia Tech versus Maryland was started by Steinbrenner because of the Yankees.
Right. I'm sure you can find a great story to tell of each bowl, which is why you're a phenomenal radio host, John. But if I was a college kid and I went to Northern Illinois and I was like, and I was telling my friends, I'm playing in a bowl game. Sweet. Who are you playing? Coastal Carolina. Yeah, okay. What's the name of the bowl? I'm playing in the Tail Greeter Cure Bowl. That's not gonna work for me. And the roofclaim.com Boca Raton Bowl? I mean, come on.
How about this? Interstate rivalry in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. South Carolina versus North Carolina. And I looked it up, and Duke's Mayo is a brand of mayonnaise.
That's great. The Tropical Smoothie Cafe Frisco Bowl. Sweet.
I'm serious. But wait, it is. Duke's Mayo. That is what the bowl is named after, is Duke's Mayonnaise. It's not, I mean, it is ridiculous, but it also is a fact. Although being ridiculous and a fact are not necessarily exclusive to one another.
All right, if we're doing mayonnaise, I'd rather have Hellman's. You got to bring out the best. But go ahead.
All right, let's move along. Enough of this bowl talk. So last night, for a moment there, I thought, you know, if the Bears win this game, it may save Nagy's job. But that was the first half. And then, you know, it sort of went south after the break. Wouldn't you agree?
24 unanswered points in the second half is not good for job security when you've already lost your job. He can't. I don't think he can save his job, John. Even if they had won last night, I would have been. If you had asked me today, did he save his job? I would have said no. This is a divorce that they just haven't filed the paperwork. I mean, that's what's going on. They're sleeping in the same bed still, but they're not talking to each other. I mean, I don't know if anybody who's listening can relate to that, but I'm guessing probably
I'm sure
somebody
they can.
Out there can.
Oh, I know they can. Yes. But how about that first half though? I mean, it looked really un-Bear-like. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, they're scoring points. Their special teams are doing stuff. Justin's looking good. He's making passes. He's doing what he needs to do. And they took the lead into halftime. I'm trying to remember the last time that the Bears led the pack during the half, at halftime, especially in Green Bay.
Well, the last time they beat them was 2015, and up there. And Nagy's now 1-7 against Green Bay in his 4 years. And we all know the stats. Aaron Rodgers is now 23-5 against the Bears.
Yeah, yeah.
The first half was great. Jakeem Grant, who Ryan Pace traded for this year, it cost him a sixth-round draft pick. It was a conditional pick when they made the trade, and nobody paid any attention to it at the time. But he's been a blessing on special teams, and even now catching some balls, as a slot receiver. That guy plays with a tremendous amount of courage. So it was fun. I was enjoying myself. I was, sitting next to Hamp and OB and rooting hard for the Bears because I picked the Bears to win yesterday in the Chicago Media Mega Pool, is what it's called, John, and I'm not going to win that pool. And I picked the Bears, I should have instantly have been disqualified based on every bit of information that was out there. But,
hope springs eternal. What can you say?
Right. And, the public's always wrong, so let's go with the contrarian view, except with the Bears, it's just not – that was not the contrarian one to go with. But at any rate, maybe we should be celebrating the fact that they were in the game for – call it three quarters last night,
Yeah, but if you've sunk to that level, you're really sort of grasping at straws.
Yeah, disregard what I just said. We're not celebrating three quarters of competitiveness. The most depressing part, or disappointing, I'm not going to use that word, just disappointing part last night, you're down 38-27. You have a fourth down at basically your own 40-yard line, and you decide on fourth down when you know you're getting fired to conservatively punt the football away down 11 and give the ball to Aaron Rodgers, who keeps it for 8 minutes and scores a touchdown, the game's over. Matt, whoever is in your head that's telling you to be conservative, don't go out conservative, man. Just throw your best offensive play out there and let it fly. Like, enjoy these last now four games, and because you're not coming back, and trying to lose by a little bit less is just not a good way to go out.
And that's always assuming that his headset is working, right?
I mean, well, that's another thing too. Hey, man, if your headset doesn't work, don't worry about it. Just make the call.
Exactly. Take the headset off and just go for it.
Don't worry. You should disregard the headset for the rest of the season.
720 WGN, John Landecker at 8:53, talking sports here with Mark Carmen for a bit. We've exhausted everything that there is to say about the Bears, I think. So that leaves COVID and the Blackhawks and COVID and the Chicago Bulls. So the Blackhawks are supposed to play tonight, and I guess Calgary has numerous players in COVID protocol. So that game's been canceled. Do you have any idea when they reschedule that, Mark?
I don't, John. And this is territory that the NHL, the NBA, and now the NFL has 37 positive COVID tests today. So, they've done their very best to get everybody vaccinated. I think the NHL is close to 100%. The NBA is at 97%. The NFL is way up there, too. And we're having exactly what the doctor said we're going to have, which is breakthrough cases, and people are not dying from it, at least no athletes have. But they're testing positive. So I do think it's right that, look, the Bulls have 10 people. You can't make the Bulls play basketball, picking up Landecker and Carmen. That's ridiculous. So use your creativity. There's if you have to extend the season and or, find breaks in it where you can play the games, then do it. But it doesn't make sense to me that if teams are missing half their rosters, that they should have to play the game.
Oh, of course not. I was just thinking of a year ago when everybody was in many professional teams were in a bubble. Remember that? I mean, The NHL was in a bubble. They were all in one area. They played the games that were scheduled. Nobody came down with COVID, and if I remember correctly, anyway, and everything worked out well. And then, you know, it's not like we weren't told by people who know how these things go that this would happen. And you get out there into enclosed areas with a full house. Who knows in the, in the stands or in the arena what the status of vaccination or booster shots of the people in the stands are? And here we are. Right. And it didn't take that long, quite frankly. And who knows how they're, as you say, how are they going to reschedule, finagle, put a season together, and then come up with the playoffs? And it's crazy. I don't think it's going to be, I don't think it's going away, that's for sure. I mean, we're only in December, and, you know, hockey's supposed to go on for quite a while, although there's a break for the Winter Olympics. And professional basketball seems to play forever, so I don't see it calming down anytime soon. Do you?
No, and you know, quick history lesson though: the NFL last year, we didn't have a vaccine; they did not miss one game.
Right.
The games were played on Tuesdays and Fridays and every single day of the week. Basically, but they didn't miss a game. So a little more difficult with the NBA and the NHL, you know, when games are coming rapidly, 82 game seasons and all that. But you know, this is not rocket science. They'll figure it out.
Right.
And you know, to your point about the fans, you know, you got to be vaccinated to go into the United Center, but some are sitting with masks, some are not sitting with masks.
Yep.
How much are they really checking people coming in? Are they, you know, have they pulled an Antonio Brown in the NFL and used a vax card that's not theirs? Who knows what's going on, right?
Right. So, well,
yeah.
Thanks a lot, Carm. I just wanted to get you on and get your opinion on the current status of the Chicago sports landscape.